The monks showed them how to best exit the mountain, but kept Anya and Ken blindfolded the entire time, telling them that the secrecy of the monastery was paramount, and this way they'd never be able to reveal its actual location. On the walk back down the mountain, Anya kept looking at Ken. She could see the happiness in his gait and spirit. Throughout the hike, he stayed fairly quiet, seemingly preferring to stay inside his own head. Anya had a great deal to think about as well. A lot had happened on this trip, and she had to process it all. She'd been concerned that she was unable to bring the sword out to protect herself when she and Ken had been in the midst of the fog. But she guessed that it wouldn't come out because the monks hadn't meant her harm, despite giving the appearance of that. Had she been able to draw the sword, she definitely would have killed some of them. So did the sword know when the danger was real as opposed to imagined? And if there was no true danger, would she be able to pull it out anymore and examine it? Or had that time passed? There was little doubt that things were evolving. Anya just wasn't sure where she fit into the whole picture. In some ways, she felt like a tool to be used by the sword. And other times, it seemed that the sword was the tool. She still didn't feel that they were unified in body and spirit. That, she supposed, would take many years.
Are you all right?
I think so, yes.
Some trip we've had ourselves, Anya Creed.
It certainly has been something.
What will you do now?
The same thing I always do. Go home, get myself stuck in the middle of something new, exciting, and potentially dangerous.
You enjoy that, don't you?
I suppose I do. Remember when you spoke about the moon's reflection on the water? And how we have a tendency as humans to see what we desperately want to see, not how things actually are?
I remember. It took me years to learn that lesson. Years to become comfortable with who I was, the man I'd become. It is not an easy thing to do, stare into the mirror of pure truth and be comfortable with what is reflected back at you.
I can see how it wouldn't be. But I guess I'm starting to feel a bit more comfortable with who I am now. And I do enjoy taking risks. I have to accept that part of myself if I am to understand fully what it means to have this sword that I've got.
I thought we weren't going to talk about that.
Is this going to be our special phrase from now on?
I didn't know there was going to be a from now on.
Well, there's not. I mean, I just thought that, you know, if we ever run into each other again, it's a small world and all. And you know, you had been following me all over the place prior to this.
Then it will be our phrase. And maybe when we've both had some time to figure out our own personal destinies, maybe we'll see each other again.
I'd like that.
As would I.
They passed the remainder of the trip in silence. Part of Anya hated the idea of leaving Ken. She'd had a lot of fun being with him. But she also knew that while it might be fun to hang out for a while, she'd grow restless. She had adventures to undertake. She had places to visit. And evil to stop. She frowned. Now where had that thought come from? Ken reached the trailhead first and waited for Anya to come through the bush.
You think our car is still there?
You don't think someone stole it, do you?
Hey, we're not immune to car theft over here, you know.
I am not walking back to Ueno. If the car is missing, you'll have to carry me back.
Deal.
But the car was right where they'd left it. Anya was a bit surprised that none of Shuko's Yakuza thugs had demolished it on the way in.
So the Onigawagumi is all destroyed, right?
I certainly think so. The monks took care of them. Despite Shuko's insistence that they were going global, I don't think they were. One reason I chose to approach the Onigawagumi in the first place was they were smaller than other clans. I felt I could deal with them reasonably. Well, as reasonably as you can with Yakuza.
What if there are some left?
I'll take care of them.
You'll kill them?
Anya, I don't ever look for a reason to kill. Neither would you. But if there's one thing I've learned, it's that the universe has a scheme of totality to it. And places and events and people all fall into that scheme. Our destinies are designed so that we all intersect how we're supposed to intersect. It may be that I'm not supposed to kill them, or it may be that I am.
But how will you know what the universe or God or whatever wants you to do?
Why, the same way we figured out what we were supposed to do in the labyrinth.
Instinct?
Sure.
I guess I'm not all that comfortable yet with the idea of using my instinct to guide me entirely through life.
No one's saying to exclude your logical, rational mind, but you've got that for a reason as well. But use it as a part of your entire arsenal, not as the single guiding compass.
I guess that makes sense.